You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on March 31st, 2021, and is titled Wave Offering 2021. Grab your Bibles and let's join Steve in the message.
People are interested. They're interested in restoring our country. They're interested in reconciling with God and having God reconcile the land back to him and his people. One of the problems we still have today in America is that we have this idea that you can simply have a prayer meeting and God will orchestrate the world. The world is the arrangement of things on top of the G. The G is the created earth. It's what God did in 7 days, 6 days, rested on the seventh, and then there's a world, there's a cosmos, and that's the arrangement. And for some odd reason, over time, we've decided that the arrangement was up to God. Now, one of the things that we're going to talk about a lot in the very near future is everybody needs to know that when Jesus does come back, because we got plenty of people right now that measure the return of Jesus by the elevation of evil. Y'all heard that? Well, it's getting so bad, Jesus got to be coming back. No, maybe it'll get so bad that you'll finally pay attention and do something about it. Well, you know God's in control. Really? So he's orchestrating the atrocities on the border. So God, he's kind of in his plan to have a abortion clinic every 15 foot. All the evil and all the stuff. Well, you know, God's in control. Really? No, he's sovereign. He's God and he expects you to do your part. He expects me to do my part. And so for all of you out there that are just pining away for the return of Jesus, if the best you've done is sit and pine, that may be the worst day you ever had. And there's a real good chance Sunday morning that I'll preach out of Matthew 25 on Resurrection Sunday. We are doing that here at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. We'll have donuts and everything, and it'll feel like church, and y'all come. But out of Matthew 25, it talks about one guy that was given 5 talents, another guy was given 2 talents, and another guy that was given 1. And he went to explaining to God what he knew about God, and he used it for an excuse to not invest what God had given him. And God said, you're exactly right what you know about me, but give me what I gave you. And I'm giving it to the guy who now has 10. You're out of here. You're out of here. So all this greasy grace and all this ideology about praying a prayer and blowing some snot and getting your ticket punched and then set on your carcass one day a week until it's time to get out of here. Jesus comes back and you telling me about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith will move your feet. Your faith will move your mouth. Your faith will move your mind. God will operate with you. And so when we wake up on a day like today and you see the videos of the guys that snuck down there, the Ted Cruz's and the Jody Arringtons and the different ones who went to the border, and you look at that border and you go, God, that's on me. Or you've been sitting around praying and how many of y'all in the last 10 or 20 years have wondered if God even hears our prayers? How many of y'all have prayed and wept and you know nothing's happened? What if your religion caused God to quit listening? Because I did a Bible study yesterday morning right here out of Ezekiel 8 that has teetotally messed up my life. Teetotally messed up my life. This is on us. Nobody ever thought going to church might tick God off. I'm just saying, it's high time everybody has a gut check. It's high time everybody looks at your whole card. It's time that we start paying attention while we sit in church and point at how terrible everybody else is? Maybe it's time we count our idols. Maybe it's time somebody comes and cuts down the Asher poles. I'm telling you, we're there. Well, I'm a little solemn tonight. Because I saw a couple pictures today. And I'm pretty sure somewhere along the way, I played a part in God not hearing as we plead as His people. And this week of all weeks, when you build churches for what might happen two times a year, yeah, tell me who's got an idol. And tell me who's being led by the Holy Spirit. Who's being led by the pattern of religion and indoctrination of institutions for 1700 years. If you'll do something wrong for three generations, it automatically becomes right. Somewhere along the way, evil is elevating in our land. If that does force the return of Jesus, I'd be sure I'd be about my Father's business and not just standing around with that one talent in my hand telling Him, God, I've just been afraid to do anything. Say, well, you know what? I didn't die so you could be afraid to do something. So that's my little talk before we get started this morning. We will be here Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. I think it'll be really, really good. Let me tell you, I struggle with it. I'm real honest. I struggle with it. You'll monkey around one of these days and you'll know too much. And so I'm finally at that point. I struggle. But I also know that my God is faithful. And if He has a word for your kitchen table and mine, and He has a word for our community, and He has a word for our county, and a word for our country, and no matter what day it is, He'll give that word. But I'm telling you, we're at an age where the ear-tickling, fun, glory, hallelujah words probably not coming from God. We've created a big mess. And it's up to us to clean it up. And we're going to give an answer why it's not. And so I'm just being real honest. I'm not here to build a ministry or make sure you bring all your friends. You'll probably go home and say, oh, don't listen to that guy. He's scary. But you know what? When that day finally does happen, you're going to be darn glad somebody told you. Because they're going to do this all over America this coming Sunday. And very few are going to tell you the truth. Very few are going to tell you the truth. And it's the truth that's going to benefit you today, tomorrow, and the days to come. As we look forward to the return of our Lord, I'm pretty certain that when I see Jesus, He's going to say, man, you tried hard. Good job. Should have cleaned it up a little, but other than that, you did good. So just know that today, that in the midst of all our religious activities, be sure we're Spirit-led. We're not led by tradition. We're not led by the trappings of men. So tonight, we're going to share some things that are very essential for our life. It's the feast of unleavened bread that we're this time right at this particular week, this moment. The Christian community, all of a sudden, the last few years, seems to know a lot more about this stuff, but there's a whole pile of us that don't know anything. I want to share some things with you tonight. We want to do some things tonight that are important in the eyes of God. And when He finds people faithful, then maybe those lines of communication stay open. And just maybe we can talk to God and He'll hear us and He'll help us as we look to the hills from where our help comes. Our help comes from the Lord. We're going to pray and sing a couple songs, and then I'll get up there and talk for a minute, and we'll get on about our business. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for tonight. Lord, right now, I want to pray for Evelyn's daughter, Lord, this morning. This evening. She's down there in Dallas and struggling with some blood clots, and God, I'm asking you to touch her and bring healing to her physical body right now. Lord, in the power and the might of your name, the truth of your word, we pray healing. For Eugene tonight, I pray healing. For my friend Milt tonight, I pray healing. Many of you tonight have people in your lives that need healing, and I just speak their names right now. Jesus, please hear us. Lord, we repent of any idols or anything tonight. Lord, we want to humble ourselves before you tonight, Jesus, that you would hear our prayers, please. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we come out of sincerity and truth, that you would heal our friends and our neighbors, our loved ones, heal their homes, their finances, their physical bodies. Lord, that you would draw the lost unto yourself. No man come lest he be drawn. We pray for revival in our land, Lord, and we pray that you'll start with us. Start with us. God, we'd be filled, empowered, on fire for you and your kingdom as we reclaim the land that you promised. So tonight, Lord, we give you the praise, we give you the glory. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to talk to you tonight about something pretty important. So if you got your Bibles handy, and surely most of you do, I'm glad to be at the kitchen table tonight because this is a kitchen table item. One of the things that we talk about a lot around here is kitchen table, but we've talked a lot here lately about Passover. Passover, which actually the day of Passover ended Sunday evening at dusk. And so that's why we participated in our county-by-county thing at the courthouse. We understand these are very significant days to the Lord. They're significant days to God's people. They're significant in the Bible. And so as we talk about Passover and what we participate in there, it also began the week of unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread. So we're going to read out of Exodus 13. We'll be over in Leviticus 23, I believe it is. And so we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about the significance of it. Here's why. And I want you to hear this real, real good, because now after doing this for several years, I realize that there's always people on two sides of a fence, or two sides of a topic, or two sides of a situation. This is what learning and knowledge is all about, is about looking and examining at all sides of a question, all sides of anything, and arriving at the centerpiece of absolute truth. That's how you do. Indoctrination will teach you how somebody believes it should be, and the next thing you know, you follow to the letter, but may or may not have been instructed by the Word of God. May or may not, mostly may not, have been led by the Spirit of God. And so you got to be real careful, because man has this innate ability to find a religion that benefits himself. We find all types of ways to be religious. Listen, man-made religion is simply idolatry. Got to remember that. Idolatry, as I read in Ezekiel 8 yesterday morning, idolatry shuts the ears of God. He said, I see you, I'm just not listening. When you go through the kings of Israel and you find those evil kings and how society spiraled downward under the leadership of a tyrannical king or an evil king, and then the next one would come along who had some type of knowledge of God or a zeal for God, and the first thing they'd do is they would tear down the Asher poles. They'd destroy the idols of the previous generations, and they begin to restore things to God. And so in all that, we see, you think, man, once things are restored to God, why in the world would anybody drift from that? Well, it's easy. I mean, the Israelites have been standing out in the desert now for 40 years with Moses. Manna coming from heaven, water coming out of rocks. And the minute Moses goes up on top of the hill, in the glory of God, where he can't even look on him, comes down to his face radiating. They done built a stinking calf. They built a man-made object to pray to, like that stupid thing was going to do something for them. This is how dull-minded humanity is when it comes to the things of God. So if we're not careful, we'll miss some things. So here's my point in all this going back. You see, just like in our society, wanting to remove history, so you can't go back. You can't go back to anything. So therefore, you've removed all hope of learning anything from what you went through. Let me tell you, if you're so dumb you don't want to learn something from Abraham Lincoln, you're the biggest dummy in the room. I mean, that guy was sharp. That guy had his hands full. He had a whole country killing itself. We should learn from those things. Learn from our history. Learn from the history of the Bible. Here's the other thing. All these things are a foreshadowing. God did this. God wrote this down. And God did this in preparation for his son Jesus to come and be the Passover lamb, to reconcile all creation unto himself, to save mankind for life with him, plus eternal life, to restore all creation. So to truly understand Jesus, it's necessity to understand Passover. If you understand Passover, now you'll understand the promise. Not the promise of going to heaven, the promise made to Abraham, family, generations, and a place to dwell, a piece of property. It's all about the promise. You'll understand about covenant. You'll understand about deliverance. If you begin to understand about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Leavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks that comes up to Pentecost, if you understand about the Feast of Booths in the fall, if we begin to gain understanding of these, I'm not talking about, do whatever you want to do in your religiosity. That's your business. I'm just here to give you some information. That's why I don't tell anybody what I do, because if I'm not careful, you'll do exactly what I do without ever learning anything for yourself. That's the truth. Well, I don't tell you what I do about Sabbath, and I'll teach you what the Bible says. I'll teach you what the Bible says about this week, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the wave offering of the first fruits of spring. I'll teach you. I'll even do some things in front of you. But you're going to have to learn how to do this yourself. But the main key to this is to understand Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, and every one of those things are essential to enhance our understanding. What does the Bible tell us is the most important thing a man can have? Anybody know? It's called understanding. If you ever want unity in the body of Christ, you'll pray for understanding. You see, the gift of tongues never separated anybody. It's the lack of understanding about the gift of tongues. That's just one of my examples. I'm not picking on tongues. If you're not a tongue talker yet, that's your business. But thanks God, baptism. Baptism was never designed to divide up the group. But lack of understanding. You know? Lack of understanding. Why would you need to understand baptism in water? Well, one of the key components of our way of life now to understand the Passover. It all ties together to understand Jesus in the tomb and the coming out. Dying to yourself and getting up. All this is all about understanding. So when I start teaching this stuff and then just laying scripture out, it's not so that you can go home and put on your Jew beanie and become a Jew and practice Jewish stuff because you think that's what's going to make God happy. It's so you can understand what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in you today. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit will not work in Easter eggs. You argue till you're blue in the face, but I'm telling you right now, He does not work in pagan rituals. That's the truth. And somebody got to have guts enough to say it, and I'm just dumb enough to do it, so here you are. No, sir. The Holy Spirit works in the people of God. And though you want Him to work more in your life, then you got to get where you understand. The Bible says understanding is more precious than anything in Wall Street. It's more precious than your 401k. Understanding. Enlightenment. And so when we study these things, then here's the next thing that happens out of understanding. Somebody might become obedient. How many of y'all, when you was a kid, your dad told you to do something and you just didn't get it? Well, he's the dumbest guy I ever heard of. That's just the dumbest idea I ever heard. I don't want to go over there and do that. I don't want to dig a hole over here, fill that one up over here, move these rocks over here. Over here, he's just, what's the matter with him? What happened if he explained himself? Said, listen, there's a reason that this irrigation ditch needs to go from here to here. There's a reason that I need to do this instead of this. What if you were made to understand what he was really trying to do? And you said, you know what? That ain't such a bad idea after all. We probably need to get busy. We probably need to get after that. Same way with God. How much easier would it be for you to obey God if you just understood a little bit of what He was trying to do? That's what this is all about. It's about coming to understanding. Understanding will bring you to obedience. And so in chapter 13 of Exodus, if you want to start there, the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 1, saying, consecrate me, all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. It's talking about first fruits, first fruit of the womb. Why is that important right now? Because right now, this week, at this particular time, is when the institution of church wants to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what that's all about. Jesus Christ was the first to open the womb of Mary, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was carried full term as a human. He was born in a manger and he grew to be a man. He opened the womb. He was the first fruits of God's offering to all mankind. He was waved on a cross. He was buried in the ground and he brought forth a manifestation of a harvest that God even preached about. That look to the harvest. The fields are ripe to the harvest and pray for the workers. The workers are few. He was the first fruits of all creation, of all mankind and all creation that would be redeemed to the Creator Himself. Consecrate to me the first fruits. You know what else this scripture tells me? That the generations are of the highest importance to God. When you read your Bible from Genesis 1 all up, you'll understand that God was all about generations, and in order to maintain generations in order in the earth, He set forth nations. This nation is important to the whole world. I was in a conversation today where we talked about a person. They said, you know, you shouldn't be so tough on Resurrection Sunday. I know there's this guy that got saved at one of them, and he's a preacher now. Good. I know a guy that got saved in the men's restroom, and he's doing pretty good, too. That's the truth. Yeah, when you get born again, you're fixing to do some good. I don't care where it happens. You're fixing to do some good. But let me explain something to you today. You got to quit measuring the worth of your gatherings and your activity just because somebody, you think somebody's going to go to heaven. This ain't about you. It ain't about you going to heaven. I hope you're going to heaven. You'd be the only one that could tell me, other than Jesus himself. He's the one got the books, got everybody's name in it. This ain't about you. This is about those who are coming behind you. This isn't about where you end up after you die. This is about how you leave it after you're gone.
Well, that concludes our message, Wave Offering 2021. As always, we invite you to come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Mule Shoe, Texas. You can find us on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Mule Shoe Fellowship, and you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Mule Shoe Fellowship, God bless.